Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask once again that You would send Your Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And may You increase our faith and love today in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 16 and continue through verse 17. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For those of you who have a good memory, I have preached on this text before. I revisited it, reworked the sermon, and made some changes when I preached it in Vernon last week, and I liked it so much that I thought, well, I better preach it here too. But that, I guess, puts the pressure on me to preach a really good sermon now. But I'll do my best. But Romans chapter 1, at verse 16 through verse 17. Hear now the word of our God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last week we celebrated Reformation Day, and it's a wonderful time in which we reflect upon the doctrines of grace, and we remember why Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door. Except most of us probably think that those 95 theses had something to do with justification by faith alone, which it wasn't in there. It came later, but we do remember that day as the starting of the protest or the Protestant Reformation. And we see here in this passage one of the passages that God used mightily in the life of Martin Luther to bring him to the point of understanding that our salvation had nothing to do with us. That we contributed nothing to our salvation. But in fact, our salvation was accomplished entirely by God in Christ. And so we'll look at this a little bit in depth here. In verse 17, when we look at that, it really does form the theme verse for the entire book of Romans. It is a verse that communicates to us clearly the doctrine of justification, that the righteousness that we have by which we stand acceptable in the sight of God is given to us by Christ. It is not something that we have inherently in ourselves. But before we get to verse 17, we first come to verse 16. Profound, I know. I can count, kind of. Verse 16 is where we start. The first thing that Paul says in verse 16 is that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How relevant a statement that is in the day in which we live. And a day that, while we aren't being killed and not all of us are being put in prison yet. That day may come. But how often have we been put in situations where we have failed to stand bold for Christ? Moments where we could have declared the gospel with boldness, but instead cowered in the corner. How often have we been put in a position where we could have said something related to the gospel and didn't? Are we as a people more like pre-Pentecost Peter or post-Pentecost Peter? Are we running away and denying Christ because we're afraid of the world, or are we bold, being willing to be beaten and ultimately killed for the sake of Christ? Not only do we struggle with that, being bold for the sake of Christ and not being ashamed of the gospel, it's also difficult for us in the weakness and frailty of our faith that we believe that it is the power, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is easy in the day and age in which we live to be distracted. There's so much going on in the world. Not only are we bombarded with all kinds of information from social media and TV and all this stuff, we are bombarded with information coming at us faster than ever, all to fill our minds. And then add on top of that all of the issues that we face in our present day surrounding COVID is one of them, but you can go down the list of economy and all these other things. It's very easy for us to be distracted. It's easy for us to be distracted in this day and age with making COVID converts than it is in bringing the message of salvation to people. I understand that some of you are not able to visit with your parents or with other family members or talk with them about certain issues because they're just not going to be pleasant conversations. And that is difficult. It is hard. I don't want to downplay that. But we have to keep our eye on the prize. We have to remember what the pearl of great price is. We should always be more concerned that people know the Lord Jesus and place their faith in Him than whether people have the same view as us on COVID or any other issue. I'm not saying that the issues regarding government overreach and all the things related to COVID are unimportant. That's not what I'm saying. But they are not the main thing. And they never were, and they never will be. And so we cannot take our eye off the ball. Children, I'm going to give you... maybe you can do it in hockey too, but... In baseball, what is the main thing if you're the batter? What does your coach always tell you? Keep your eye on the ball. Because if you take your eye off the ball, what are you going to do? You're going to miss. You will never hit that ball if you take your eye off it. Well, in the same way, we have to remember that the gospel must be at the center of our lives. We have to remember the mission for what we are here for is to sow the seed of the gospel. This is what Jesus commanded us to do. To go out into all the earth and do what? Make disciples. We have to make sure that the emphasis of our lives is that we are seeking to be a witness of Jesus. That we are fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, if you are discouraged because you have failed, because either you have at many times or sometimes been ashamed of the gospel, or because you at times have been distracted and have fired off all of your bullets at the wrong things, do not lose heart. For Christ did not cast away Peter after Peter denied him, but instead restored Peter and strengthened him. We always have the privilege of coming to our God and confessing our sin to Him and being reminded of His grace. And so let's confess our sin of being ashamed or making other things a bigger priority and come to Christ for forgiveness, healing, and strength to go forth in more boldness. And as we go forward in this life, we know that Christ will continue to make us more like Him. Bold in the truth. As the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify us. And the Holy Spirit will sanctify us, making us more bold and more focused by instilling in us the truth of the gospel. And specifically the truth that Paul says next, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Meaning what? The gospel of Jesus is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. Doesn't matter who, Jew or Greek. Everyone. No matter how sinful, no matter how rich or poor, bond or free, white, black, brown, yellow, red, male or female, it doesn't matter. Christ has the power to save everyone. And everyone who believes will be saved. I love to emphasize those words, will be saved. It doesn't say might be saved. Doesn't say, hope they'll be saved. Will be saved. It's sure. Saved not just from COVID. Saved not just from economic struggles. Saved not just from health difficulties, saved from eternal death and given eternal life. The more we believe that, the more bold and the more focused we will become. The more we will come to see that is the central truth of our lives and the central mission of what we are here to stand for and proclaim. For if we believe that what we have in the gospel is the only way that someone can be saved for all eternity, why would we be ashamed of it? Why would we focus intently on anything else. If this is the only way that someone can be saved for all eternity, why would we focus on anything else? What is COVID? What? It's a disease. What is the vaccine? Well, we can have a debate about that. What is a vaccine? What? It's not going to save your soul. COVID can kill your body, yes, but left to ourselves, our souls are already dead. Who can save you? Who can raise you up unto eternal life? Well, it's Christ, and it's Christ alone. Why would we focus intently on anything else other than the gospel of Christ? And so, brothers and sisters, let us renew our mind in this truth, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save all who believe unto eternal life. Do we believe that? It's been said, if you had the cure for cancer, what would you do? Would you lock it away in a safe and say, nope, I'm not going to share that with anybody. I'll just keep it for myself. No, you would go to everyone that had cancer and you would treat them. You would give them healing. Well, we have the message that gives eternal life. That's far more than the cure for cancer. Why would we be ashamed of it? Why would we not be focused on sharing that good news? And then, as we think upon that, let's get into what is this gospel? What is this gospel? How is the gospel of Jesus able to save us? Well, that's where verse 17 comes in. And this is the verse that God used so powerfully in the life of Martin Luther, the German monk who stood up to all the powers of the Catholic Church and proclaimed the gospel. Verse 17, read with me there, "For in it," that is, in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How is Jesus able to save us? The righteousness of God is revealed to us. A righteousness that is not our own. "For no one can be saved by their own law keeping, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But here Paul showcases the glory of the gospel, that we are given a righteousness that is not our own. We are given the righteousness of Christ. And we are given this righteousness of Christ not because of some great work that we have done, but we are given the righteousness of God simply out of God's love and grace through the instrument of faith. Now hopefully as we read over this verse, you have a question about what does it mean that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's a bit of a hard thing. What is Paul saying there? Part of the confusion that we might have with this phrase is because of the translation. More accurately, it should read, by faith to faith. Which, as Robert Haldane explains, means the righteousness which is by faith, namely which is received by faith, is revealed to faith, or in order to be believed. It's a little bit of a convoluted way of saying, you are given this faith to believe this faith in order to be saved. Say it again, the righteousness which is received by faith is given to us to be believed. Paul also says the same thing in a slightly different way in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, where we read, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. And again, essentially, Paul is saying the exact same thing that he quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2. That quote, the just shall live by faith, is explaining what Paul means when he says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. Paul could not be more clear here. It is through the instrument of faith that we passively receive the righteousness of Christ so that we have eternal life. A life of eternal communion with God. I know for us that have grown up in a Christian church, and especially those who have grown up in a Reformed church, those words, the just shall live by faith, maybe sound like old hat. That's the temptation anyway. But my brothers and sisters, those should be the most glorious words to our ears. These are words that should remind us of the freedom from bondage that we now have. They are words that remind us that it is by the gospel of Christ that we are brought out of the deep, dark, damp, cold pit of sin, death, and despair, and into the glorious light of hope, life, and love. Thinking upon the life of Martin Luther, it is this verse that God used to begin to awaken Luther to the truth of that. At three distinct points in his life, this verse was used mightily of God. The first time was in Wittenberg when he was teaching through the book of Romans. When he came to this verse, he realized something really quite profound. In the Latin translation of the verse, it read, those who are made just shall live by faith. Notice how it reads. Those who are made just shall live by faith. The Roman Catholic Church taught and still teaches officially that it is through the church, the sacraments of the church and personal holiness, that one is made just in the sight of God. And so the just people, the righteous people that will live before the face of God are those that have their own righteousness. Yes, they have help. They have grace to cover over some of their failings and sins. But it's at the end of the day, it is a righteousness that is theirs. It's not an imputed righteousness given by Christ. It is they have been made righteous, and that is how they stand in the presence of God. But Luther, now reading the text in the original Greek, he saw that the word that was used there did not imply that one was made righteous, but rather that one was declared righteous on the basis of someone else's righteousness. This began opening the door in Luther's mind. Then on the way to Rome, Luther fell deathly ill. He became terribly afraid that he was going to die. Luther knew his sin, and he knew the holiness of God, but he had not yet fully understood the gospel. But in the midst of his sickness and great fear of dying and having to go before the judgment seat of God, this verse was brought to him again by the Holy Spirit. The just shall live by faith. The door opened a little more. Then Luther went to Rome, and at that time the Pope had given an indulgence to anyone who climbed Pilate's staircase on their knees. This was supposedly the very stones from Pilate's palace, right? Where Christ had walked up and down before the presence of Pilate. And so these steps apparently were from there and brought to Rome. And the Pope had said that if you climb on your hands and knees up these steps, then you will be given an indulgence, a pardon from the church for your sins. Now, children, do you think that climbing stairs on your knees, even special stairs, holy stairs, and even if the Pope said so, do you think doing so is going to take away your sin and guilt? No. As Luther was ascending the staircase on his hands and knees, he heard a voice say again, "The just shall live by faith." Luther immediately jumped to his feet and left. The door finally swung open a little later in Luther's life, when he understood that he was saved by the righteousness of Christ, not his own, and this righteousness could only be his by a true faith. He wrote, "I greatly longed to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans, and nothing stood in the way but that one expression, the justice of God, because I took it to mean that justice whereby God is just and deals justly in punishing the unjust. My situation was that, although an impeccable monk, I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in conscience, and I had no confidence that my merit would assuage him or would satisfy him. Therefore, I did not love a just and angry God, but rather hated and murmured against him. Yet I clung to the dear Paul and had a great yearning to know what he meant. Night and day I pondered until I saw the connection between the justice of God and the statement that the just shall live by faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us through faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and have gone through the open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on a new meaning, and whereas before the justice of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gate of heaven." My brothers and sisters, this is how we are gathered before the face of God. Let us never rest in our own righteousness. Let us not for a moment think that we have a right in ourselves to come into the presence of God and receive His love, grace, and mercy. For if we come trusting in our own righteousness, we will only get what our righteousness deserves, which is hell. For every single moment of our lives. Because every single moment of our lives is tainted with sin. And even our best works are but filthy rags. But let us come to the Lord in faith, trusting in Jesus and the salvation that He has given by being our atoning sacrifice. My brothers and sisters, this should be the most glorious news that we ever hear. If we get excited about anything, this should be what it is. That Christ came and died in our place. And that His righteousness is ours now. And it is ours by no other way but by faith. It should be our mantra that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it should be a reason worth dying for. Imagine how many of our brothers and sisters were willing to go to the stake for one word, alone. All the powers that be said, yes, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And yet, our Reformed forebearers were willing to be burned. Because they said, no, that is false. It is by grace alone, through Christ, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing else. Nothing that we do contributes. I wonder if we would do the same. It's a good question to ask ourselves. What would you be willing to die for? There's so many little things, isn't there, that irritate us. It's very easy for us to be irritated. It's very easy for us even to make a stand at some point. You know, the devil is a tricky serpent, isn't he? Is it really worth dying for, this doctrine of justification by faith alone? That's a real question that our forebears had to answer. But they saw this doctrine as really and truly the only hope. And they said, yes, we are willing to have our backs to the whips, our tongues to the knives, and our bodies to the fire. And so may we be. May we have the heart of the Apostle Paul, What does he say in Galatians 1? If anyone else preaches to you another gospel, even an angel from heaven, let him be what? Anathema. This, there are many hills that we should not even attempt to die on. And unfortunately, the devil would love us to make a stand on molehills. But this is one we cannot budge. This is the gospel. In closing, I'll read the lyrics of two of the stanzas of the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. In the second and third stanzas we read, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for the sake of Christ. Please forgive us of all the times that we have been ashamed of the gospel, when we have failed to boldly proclaim the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Please forgive us, Lord, when we have been distracted, when we have made the course and purpose of our lives about something other than the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Lord, you know how easy it is for us to fall into the traps of the evil one. And we pray that you would help us to be bold for the sake of Christ in proclaiming the truth as it is in him. And may we be, as a church, focused and centered and founded upon the gospel. Heavenly Father, please forgive us of the times that we have not done this. And we ask that you would forgive us for the sake of Christ, and that you would give us your Holy Spirit to renew within us a right spirit, that we would follow you, and that we would do what it is you have called us to. Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith, that you would help us to rest and trust in the salvation that is provided in Christ alone. And may we go forth from this place with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts for the great salvation that is given to us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.